says what just happened. They were upside down, in the dark, still restrained in their seats, trapped in the wreck, with at least one person trying to execute them. Reese lunged forward to grab the pistol Katie so desperately grappled with in the passenger seat, but his seatbelt prevented him from reaching it. Just a few inches shy. The gun fired again, sending a round in front of Reese's face. Just one more second, Katie. Reese reached behind the passenger seat, felt for the corner of the gray man tactical rigid MOLLE panel. Reference point. He stretched farther and unhooked the bungee holding his Winkler SAOC tomahawk securely in place. His hands choked up around the familiar wood just under the axe head and ripped it from its sheath. Time to kill. Reese punched the spike on the axe head into the inside wrist of the man holding the gun, aggressively corkscrewing through the tendons. Screaming in both agony and surprise, the hitman dropped the pistol, which fell through the broken windshield and slipped out of reach. Don't let him go, Reese. Reese lunged across the center console and trapped the would-be assassin's hand to the dash. He then pushed the hawk into his leg, forcing his hand to the base of the shaft, and then used it to extend his reach. Thrusting it past Katie and hooking the curved butt of the axe head around the neck of their assailant, he pulled him into the vehicle through the broken window. Changing tactics, the hitman crawled over Katie, whose fists pounded on the aggressor as she continued to curse and scream. Reese choked up on the axe head, grabbing a handful of the man's hair and pushing his head against the dashboard, firing short, powerful punches with the front point into his attacker's face. Each blow crushed more of his temporal bone, penetrating deeper through the skull and into brain matter. The man rolled past the dash and onto the vehicle's headliner. "James! James!" Katie's screams pulled him from his rage-induced psychosis. Ears ringing from the gunshots in the confined space of the vehicle, Reese turned his attention to the new threat. He heard shouting, in Farsi, feet sliding down the rock and dirt-strewn embankment above, and the unmistakable sound of incoming gunfire. "Get off the X!" Still upside down and restrained in his seat, Reese switched the axe to his left hand and arched his back, drawing his SIG X-Compact from appendix carry. His good eye found the red dot, and he destroyed the target in his optic, which in this case were the knees and lower thighs of a fast-approaching threat. The man fell face-first, screaming into the dirt. As he attempted to push himself up, Reese took a second to get steady and put a 9mm round into his face. Reorienting himself, Reese reached down and sliced through the seatbelt where it attached to the frame. He then quickly cut through his lap belt, freeing himself from the safety harness and unceremoniously falling on top of the man he'd just killed. Hearing more shouting in Farsi over the distinct sound of incoming gunfire, Reese adjusted to the circumstances. On his side, in an awkward half-crimp position atop the dead man's body, Reese identified the muzzle flash of a rifle behind a tree halfway up the slope and sent 5 rounds in response. "Katie, are you okay?" "What?" Reese spun around, his face inches from Katie's. "Let's go," he said, slicing through her seatbelt and attempting to soften her fall. More rounds cracked above them. "Get ready," Reese said, twisting around on his back, lying as flat as possible, to give him the angle he needed to shoot uphill from the upside-down cab of the Land Cruiser. His working eye focused on the optic and he pressed the trigger, sending 3 bullets into the chest of a man running down the slope with a rifle toward the overturned Land Cruiser. "Get out on your side," he yelled to Katie. "Get out now." Experience had taught him that vehicles had a tendency to turn into bullet sponges in gunfights. Reese had no idea about the numbers and skill level of the opposition. The fact that they had rifles but had instead led with men using pistols to make sure their marks were dead gave Reese a data point. Had Katie not grabbed the gun when he stuck it inside to finish them off, they would both be dead. A professional would have used the distance and executed them without sticking the muzzle into the vehicle. Pros would have led with the rifles. That information told Reese he was probably not dealing with a professional hit team. Crawling over her dead attacker, Katie felt a shard of glass slice into her upper leg as she dug her fingers into the damp ground and pulled herself through the broken passenger side window. Reese pivoted on the dead body and crawled after her, emerging into the night. He quickly put himself between Katie and the wheel well and engine block, taking stock of their injuries and the situation.
"Are you hurt?"
Reese asked, quickly giving Katie a once-over before sliding the axe into the back of his belt. He performed a tactical reload, ensuring the pistol was at full capacity and stowing his partially used magazine for future use. Even in the darkness, he could tell Katie was shaken. Blood matted her hair to the side of her face and was already starting to clot around her nose. He felt safe in concluding that the hit team did not have night vision. If they did, he and Katie would be full of holes and the assaulters would be pouring effective fire into the overturned vehicle.
"James, your face," Katie said.
"It's okay. Do you have your Glock?"
"No, I was in D.C.
"Shit."
Reese knelt back down and leaned into the vehicle. He rolled the body to the side and stood back up, holding the dead man's pistol. He released the magazine and pressed down on the top round to ensure that the gunman hadn't expended his last couple of rounds in the struggle. He reinserted the magazine and performed a one-handed press check, feeling for the chambered round in the darkness.
"The 17 works just like your 19, Reese said, handing Katie the pistol. "Now, just like we practiced with Ox, we are going to move across the open space behind us and hardpoint in that building."
Katie turned her head and saw a brick building up a low hill behind them. Gunshots and yelling in Farsi brought their attention back to their attackers.
"Cover and move," Reese said, repeating what Ox had taught them when training in team tactics.
"Cover and move,"
Katie affirmed, nodding. Her frantic screams while trapped and struggling for her life in the overturned cruiser had been replaced with an air of resolve.
"When I start firing, sprint to that set of trees at the base of the hill."
They both knew that a moving target was a lot harder to hit than a stationary one.
"Go,"
Reese barked. Leaning out from behind the vehicle in a low kneel, Reese started sending rounds at the muzzle flashes of the enemy shooters. As soon as he heard Katie's Glock go to work, he spun and took off at a sprint across the open grass, throwing himself behind a tree next to Katie.
"Follow me," Reese said in a hushed voice.
They had broken contact. It was time to go black and not give their attackers anything to shoot at. Moving from cover to cover, tree to tree, Reese and Katie maneuvered into the unknown.
Chapter 37.
"What did he say?" Woody asked.
"He said to continue monitoring and ensure we are getting video," Crimmins responded.
"Are we just supposed to let these guys kill him?"
"We're supposed to follow orders. If you'd done that, you'd still be a cop."
"Fuck off.
Are we recording?"
Woody turned his attention back to the main terminal in front of him.
"Yeah, boss.
It's recording in both FLIR and IR. We'll have some good footage, at least, of the two guys still standing around the vehicles."
"Good. Don't fuck this up. If you can keep your mouth shut and do your job, I'll put in a good word for you with Sawyer. He might even move you back to an overseas detail where you can get your kill on."
"Fuck yeah. We'll have good video, don't you worry. Be a shame if they whack that blondie. Sucks we never got to install that video camera in her condo."
"Stay focused," Crimmins ordered.
"Think they'll see us?" Woody asked.
"Don't think so. We are far enough back, even though these optics make it seem like we're right there. If they start coming this way, we'll get out of here."
Crimmins turned his attention back down the road toward the two vehicles, his IR headlights illuminating them in the night.
"Who the fuck are these guys?"
"Moving,"
Reese hissed, grabbing Katie's hand and placing it on the back of his belt. She latched on, remembering the training they had done together with Ox to prepare for a scenario in which they had to defend themselves from multiple armed attackers. Her job was to watch the 6 o'clock position as Reese concentrated on the terrain ahead. They moved together across the dimly lit parking lot of a two-story brick warehouse. Always improve your fighting position. Reese didn't know how many assailants they faced. He had put down three and needed to hardpoint in an advantageous position. His iPhone had been in the cup holder and Katie had dropped hers on initial impact. His encrypted Kryptol was in his backpack in the back seat. All were somewhere in the wreck, on the street, or the embankment.
No comms.
Reese trained his pistol ahead, keeping it just below his line of sight. Where his one good eye went, the pistol went. Reaching the side of the warehouse, Reese noticed an exterior stairwell. He paused at the base of the stairs to take stock of their situation. His left eye was completely swollen shut, and he felt the pressure building on that side of his head. Katie was limping, and the right side of her face was caked in blood. They both needed medical attention, but they were breathing, ambulatory, and determined. Win the fight.
"We're going up," Reese said. "We've got to find a phone and hard point until the cavalry arrives. I'll cover. See if that door is open."
Katie's eyes reflected the light from a lamppost that cast a dim glow over the parking area. The horror she'd experienced in the overturned vehicle and the mission of moving through the darkness were beginning to give way to shock. Reese had to get her upstairs and take a look at her leg.
"We're going to be okay, Katie. Check that door," he said, turning back to the tree line.
He could hear her moving up the stairs behind him.
"You can't lose her. Not now, Reese. Focus."
"It's locked,"
Katie whispered downward as loudly as she dared.
"Shit."
"Coming up," Reese responded. "Hold on the tree line." Katie forced herself to kneel, pointing the Glock in the direction of the last known threat as Reese raced up the stairs. She moved her left hand to the top of her pant leg and turned her palm to see it wet with blood. Reese examined the door and lock, holstered his SIG with practiced precision, and reached to the back of his belt for the axe.
"Inward opening door, master lock."
The base of this particular tomahawk was not designed for breaching, so Reese jammed the back spike on the head of the axe into the latch of the padlock, prying it violently to the side and popping the lock free. 5 rounds from Katie's pistol caused him to spin back around in time to see a man with an AR-type rifle scamper back into the tree line.
"Fuck."
Reese steadied himself on the landing railing and drove a mule kick into the exterior door. It flew open, exposing a small office with an interior open door in the back right corner. He redrew his pistol and cleared the room as best he could without a light, not wanting to hit a light switch that would backlight them.
"Clear."
"Katie, move," Reese said, training his weapon on the open interior door and expecting her to move past him.
"Katie."
He looked back and saw her struggling to her feet.
"Shit."
Reese turned and helped her up. Not knowing the extent of her injuries, he reached down and picked her up in a fireman's carry over his shoulder, left arm around the back of her legs, SIG in his right hand, up and at the ready. He kicked the door closed behind them and moved into the room.
"You have got to win the fight, Reese."
"Yeah, but if she dies, it doesn't matter." Reese pushed one room deeper, clearing it from left to right. This room was bigger, with a number of cubicles set up in its center. A couch was against the wall to his left by a water cooler and countertop with a sink and microwave. It looked like a poor substitute for a break room. Reese dropped Katie onto the couch.
"Where are you hurt?" "I think just my leg, James. Don't worry about me. Find a phone."
Reese ripped the rapid medical tourniquet from under his belt. During the medical portion of their training at the farm, his class had been taught to carry low-visibility tourniquets in certain situations. Hidden by the outer belt, the thin elastic band attached on itself with a locking mechanism in the front. Reese assessed the wound as best he could in the hazy light, creeping through the dirty windows. If it was a femoral bleed, Katie would already be dead. The wound probably didn't require a tourniquet, but efficiency was of the essence. He would normally have packed the wound with gauze before throwing on the tourniquet, but the aid bag was in his truck, so he ripped off his plaid button-up and quickly cut a strip of fabric to stuff into the cut. For now, his makeshift bandage and the tourniquet would have to do.
"You'll be fine, Katie. It's not bad,"
he said as he locked the tourniquet in place on her upper leg.
"What's going on, James?"
Katie asked, unable to control her reporter's instinct to ask questions.
"Who are they?"
"I heard Farsi. We'll figure it out. Right now I need you to hold on the door. Anyone comes through, start shooting. I'm going to find a phone and call 911.
As Reese turned to find a phone, a shadow fell across the open door from their initial entry room. Reese put his finger to his lips and stepped back to the side of the door. The man led with the muzzle of his AR.
Mistake.
Reese grabbed the barrel, trapping it to the man's body, while pulling his SIG back into the position of retention angled just above his right hip. He fired 3 rapid rounds into the attacker's midsection.
Reese moved his pistol up for a headshot, but it snagged on his opponent's shirt, his momentum continuing to carry him forward. Reese pressed the trigger again, sending a 147-grain spear gold dot hollow point into the man's heart. Reese didn't need to re-engage with another shot to know that firing into clothing at contact distance had caused a malfunction. He felt it. At such a close range, clothing, bone, and skin could work their way into the mechanism, preventing the weapon from going back into battery with the following round. He also knew there was another attacker right on his heels. Throwing the lead assaulter into the doorframe, Reese checked the next intruder's gun to the side, smashing his now inert pistol into the face of a man who did not expect to be in a hand-to-hand fighting situation when he had a rifle. As the assailant put his hands up to instinctually block his face from the onslaught, he also turned his back. Reese snaked his left arm around his opponent's neck, putting in the initial move of a rear naked choke. Instead of sliding his left hand into the crook of his right inside elbow to sink in the submission, Reese tapped the base of his magazine on his right leg. He then angled it so the rear sight would catch on his belt, racking it downward in a violent motion to clear the stoppage. He could tell by feel that it hadn't helped. Work the problem. Instead of losing time clearing a Type 2 malfunction, Reese went for his secondary weapon, which in this case was his Winkler Tomahawk at the back of his belt. Katie's Glock exploded behind him, firing 8 times in quick succession. What the fuck? Katie! Reese's hand found his hawk, freeing it from his belt line. He spun it so the sharp front spike was facing him, then sliced it across the abdomen of the man he was locked with in a primal dance of death. He sliced back and forth 3 times, feeling the sharp implement working its way deeper and deeper into the bowels. Releasing his chokehold, Reese sank the man to his knees, spun the hawk, and implanted the axe blade through the top of his attacker's head. He turned to Katie, who still had her Glock trained on the doorway, then to a third man lying on the floor. Reese knelt next to his pistol. He laid the hawk on the floor, ejected the magazine from the SIG, and racked the slide 3 times, clearing whatever clothing or body parts had fouled it. He reinserted the magazine, racked the slide again to chamber a round, and then performed a press check before once again picking up the tomahawk. How many assassins did they send? Not professionals, but professional enough. Reese moved to the closest body and bent to pick up the AR. His attempt at a battlefield pickup was interrupted by the sound of footsteps running up the outside metal staircase. Reese reacted. How many? Doesn't matter. They tried to kill Katie. I am going to kill them all. Rushing back toward the staircase, Reese met the first aggressor with a shot that caught him just below the nose and sent him crumbling to the deck. Reese was overcommitting to the problem, but he was on autopilot set to rage. Visions of his dead wife and daughter forever imprinted on his soul drove him forward. His tomahawk caught the rifle of the number 2 man and checked it toward the ground. The violent impact of bodies and weapons clashing together in battle caused the intruder to shoot several rounds into the ground. With the AR trapped, Reese fired 3 rounds into the man's stomach. He then changed angles and sent 3 more into his upper chest. Bringing the pistol up in an unconventional position, he fired 1 last round into his face. Slide lock. Shit. Another threat entering the room. Reese dropped his pistol and charged at the third person in the element, impaling his hawk into the upper arm of the new threat and forcing him back onto the second deck landing. Control the gun, Reese. The assailant's finger contracted around the trigger and sent a fully automatic burst into the building, into Katie's room. Reese sliced down the man's arm with the ancient weapon until it met the metal of the AR. With the axe pressing on the rifle, Reese pulled the man toward him and then slammed him into the outside wall, using the blade of the axe to scrape down through the hand controlling the trigger. In a primal panic, the assailant pushed off the wall and sent them both careening into the outside railing. Running the blade of the axe back up the man's arm, Reese pushed it behind his neck, grabbing either side of the axe and putting his head in a clinch. Reese fired several knees into his opponent's groin and midsection, dropping him to the grated landing. Releasing his grip with his left hand and freeing the axe from behind the man's neck, Reese raised it above his head and delivered a massive blow to the side of his face. His assailant's head fell forward, and Reese ripped the blade free, slamming it into the back of his neck, severing the spinal cord
and sending the lifeless body onto the grate. Knowing that too many warriors throughout history had been killed by people they thought were dead, one final blow ensured the man would never move again. Reese's eyes went to the stairs, the parking lot, and then to the tree line. If there were more in this element, they would be shooting, or they are calling in reinforcements. That's exactly what you should be doing. Katie, Reese charged back into the building. Katie! Katie! She sat on the couch, Glock still trained on the man she had killed. The cocktail of epinephrine and cortisol coursing through her body from the fight was starting to subside.
It's okay, Katie, Reese said, kneeling in front of her. Are you hit?
Katie blinked her eyes as they came to focus on the man before her.
I'm going to find a phone. You are doing great. Keep holding on the door, but use this, he said, reaching down and retrieving an AR.
He released the magazine,